Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And there you are. Hello. It's the 1st of February.
Woo! Nice. Almost Punxsutawney Phil's Day tomorrow.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we're about to see some further horrible storms sweep across the Midwest tomorrow.
Well, we'll see what he says.
Did you see any pictures from the snowstorm of last week?
Just a few videos they showed on TV.
I mean, I had some friends send me some videos and pictures of how much snow they got on the east end of Long Island. It was unbelievable. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then all this soft snow was then whipped around in this incredible, these vortexes by the, is it Vortai? Vortexes? Vortai?
I think it'd be vortexes.
Vortexes. From this incredible 40, 50 mile an hour winds. It was really quite the sight to see. Yeah, pretty cool. All right, let's catch up with Colin on a couple of things that are going on here because it has been an incredible January, just missing almost the worst January of all time.
And when was that?
Of all time. All time. Like for forever. Like all time. Like it would be the worst ever. January
what was the worst ever.
The worst ever year? Before that was, I think it was 2008.
Oh, that's just recent.
Yeah, 2008 was a really bad January. And then, of course, one of the months that was the worst for the NASDAQ was, and for the markets, was March 2020, of course. But this is all based on the Fed all of a sudden turning around and saying, you know, maybe inflation isn't transitory. Maybe it's more persistent. That's what it is. It's persistent.
Oh, that's okay then.
Yeah, then, you know, we think that is the case. Everybody believes that. They believe when they say it's transitory when they're wrong, and they say it's, when they say it's persistent and they're wrong, people believe them. Because you know why? It's not about whether they're right or wrong. It's what they're going to do about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but what are they going to do about it?
Well, they're going to raise rates potentially, and that's freaking people out. They're going to start slowing down, and they are slowing down, discontinuing the bond purchases, and God forbid they shrink the balance sheet and cause a liquidity crisis. So, big issue. So people listening. Yeah. So we're waiting the jobs report at the end of this week. Expectations for about 125,000 jobs and a 3.9% rate. There is some talk about the jobs numbers possibly coming into negative territory for this report. And that would make sense. I think, what do we have last time? Like 150,000 were added, but the unemployment rate dropped again, and that's because of all the people leaving the labor force and the labor participation rate coming down. So with this statistical calculation that you get is one thing. The reality is entirely another. But that's just how it is, right? We work on the idea of whatever they tell us, we absorb and we swallow. We're forced to swallow it. But end of month, virus stepped in. And in fact, we had one of the best days ever in months for the markets on Friday. Kind of a big up and down. And then all of a sudden it was off to the races on Friday, followed through yesterday, followed through today, and is going to follow through tomorrow, mark my words. And that is okay, because we saw something happen with Google, which we'll talk about in a minute, as well as some other earnings that came out. But one of the things I think that's really, that I think we need to put in perspective is what's going on with the Fed. Before they come up with an FOMC announcement, there's a hush period. There's an time period where they have to stay away from the microphones, the press. They can't say anything. They can't talk about it. Just like an earnings season where companies are restricted from talking about and predicting and projecting and giving information before the earnings come out. Well, they had that. Now they're just back at it. They're like microphone addicts, these guys. And what they're doing is trial balloons. Now, how long has this been going on forever, this whole trial balloon process, whether it's finance or politics? What is going on with that?
Well, it's like test marketing.
It's like an A-B marketing kind of thing?
Well, no, not A-B marketing, just raw test marketing where you A-B marketing is a form of test marketing, but I'm talking about the classic test marketing where you announce a product with no intentions at all to actually produce or ship this product unless the people go nuts and they all go crazy for it and start lining up orders.
And the Fed has become a master of this through their, what they call, they have a variety of different strategies, right? They talk about, well, we have our balance sheet strategy where we can increase and decrease the balance sheet through quantitative easing, et cetera. We have our rate, the ability to raise or lower rates, and that's a way of doing things. And they have a communication strategy. And you know what that really is if we take that communication strategy and unravel it and just look at what it really means that they're doing?
Yeah, trial balloons.
Trial balloons. That's what they're doing. So we have...
Let's say this and see what happens. Exactly. Let's say that and see what happens.
So Bullard comes out and says, hey, you know, I think there's going to be a rate increase in March, maybe one in May. And then there's some other chatter that he said, something about sequential rate increases starting in March. And then another person comes out and says, oh, you know what? Maybe we'll do 50 basis points to begin with and then see what happens from there. And then somebody else says... Well, you know, maybe there'll be a slight increase, but I think it'd be better served if we really do balance sheet adjustments instead to really do things because that will tame inflation. They keep on each one of them. I do believe they get talking points that are provided and they go out and just do that. Their
provided
job.
Provided by who?
By the Fed provides each member. Let's say there's 10 different speakers. Some are voting, some are non-voting. And they give the voting members the ones that are more reasonably acceptable and probable. And the non-voting, they give the outliers because they don't vote. So you could just say, oh, well, they're not part of the vote. And they go out and say, okay, over the next 2 weeks, this is your talking point to the Fed official from Atlanta, the one from New York or whatever region it is, the Midwest. They give them these talking points and they go out and just talk them up and utilize these trial balloons to see how the reaction is.
You know, I think that's pretty far-fetched.
Why? How come they all have different discussions?
I don't know why it's so screwy. But if they actually did what you said and somebody blew the whistle on it, they'd lose all credibility.
I think you go into the Fed and you have a blood pact. And you, seriously, I'm not kidding.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
You have a blood pact and it's like, hey, what happens to the Fed stays at the Fed for your entire life. And nobody's really broken down yet. Because if they did, the whole thing would fall apart. And why would they want that? I do believe that. There's no reason. Every single one of these guys talks about a different story. How is that possible?
You're idiots.
You don't think it's concerted and coordinated? And
Having worked in the government, I find it hard to believe that anyone could organize it that way.
That there's any coordination at all, right?
At all, anything whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me that there's something a little fishy about these trial balloons. And I think there's keep an eye out on those because if any company did that, Elon Musk is the closest one to this kind of practice. You know, 420 secured. We think we're coming out with this. We're going to buy that company. We're going to open up the Gigafactory. He kind of releases all sorts of data.
Yeah, he pulls this stunt constantly. It's legal. Commodore computers used to do this all the time to run their stock up and down.
What was it, the 8088 or something?
No, they had the, I don't know, they had the, the it started with the Commodore PET, then the Commodore, this keyboard computers.
Wasn't it white?
It was white.
Commodores were white. What did you do with those? You basically just...
You could add two and two.
And you could say... And I remember the big thing when you could say DOS, you know, would use DOS commands, and you would... Let me show you how we can type your name and let it repeat all over the screen randomly. Oh, that's so cool. With the green screen that we had.
Yeah, those days, yeah.
Oh, those are good. I had a class that I was learning. What language was I learning? Was it COBOL? No, it wasn't COBOL. It was COBOL.
It wasn't COBOL.
No, definitely was not COBOL. Whatever language it was, the midterm was successfully logging in and logging out of this quote-unquote server, mainframe. You got to know how to type in login.
Maybe it was Fortran. That would be the kind of thing you'd learn.
Maybe.
Maybe it was COBOL. I mean, COBOL is learnable. You could still handy.
Yeah.
Still used.
Right. It was kind of funny. So we're waiting the jobs report. Okay. End of month buyers stepped in. We talked about that. Fed officials flow. Okay. Now, we saw quite the squeeze Friday. End of month follow through Monday. The KRI, I know this is something we talk about. The KRI, the Spearman, the McClellan hit levels I haven't seen in 2.5 years since the downstroke.
Oversold?
Oh, my God. -6. Spearman was -350. The McClellan was -350. The Spearman was -78. Now, I don't know. I'm all upside down here. Can I just start again? The KRI was -6. That's pretty bad. -7 is the worst.
Spearman, and it's oversold.
Oversold. Spearman was a -97.
Does it ever get that number?
I've seen it once.
When?
It got to -95 or so in 2020. In 2008, it got close to that as well. The McClellan was -350. I've seen that a few times. And it's always on the precipice of a massive turnaround. And I tweeted this constantly for about 3 days, because one day it did that, that Monday where we saw that 1,000-point move to the downside and everything pinned out on these three indicators. And I saw the RSI at 20, which is ridiculous for the S&P and the NASDAQ. And I said, you know what, guys, we got to look at this here because something is not right. And then what happened is they moved up dramatically after that -1,000-point drop on the Dow and 3.5%, 4% on the Qs. And it turned around to be a positive day on Monday. And then it started getting wonky again. And then on Friday or Thursday, we saw the same thing. I think it was Thursday of last week. The same thing again. For the second time, I'm like, wow. So this is kind of, every time I've seen it in the past, it's one of those, not necessarily back up the truck, but it's, boy, get it. Get the engine started. And here we are again. We saw that Apple came out with decent earnings. Microsoft blew the top off of things. Netflix was nasty. But already buyers came in dramatically down to 360 Netflix. It's, I think, 458 today. And on and on and on from some of these big names. Google comes out. We'll talk about that in a second. Unbelievable numbers tonight. We got Facebook and Amazon coming up as well. There was also a huge amount of put options that were bought by retail over the past week, which is kind of a sign of capitulation. The VIX was 38. Now it's down to like 21. And even we saw the poster child of the excess and then the downstroke, which was the ARK funds. We saw something. I saw something amazing. It was on TV. It was on the 6 o'clock hour on CNBC when Jim Cramer lined up all the symbols and the products of the top holdings of the ARK funds. A lot of them technology. Lined them up like on a desk to represent the various products that the company's inside of. You know what he did? He took a bottle of Cutty Sark, and there's something about that. The Sark, S-A-R-K, is a fund that shorts, does the inverse of the ARK funds, and poured it all over the products on the table, dousing them with alcohol, looking like he's going to take a match to it.
It's probably tea.
Whatever it was, the point is that, and 2 days later, now he likes a lot of the positions in there, by the way.
So he thought they're doomed.
Doomed, ready to go out, forget about it. This is 2 days ago. Now today he says it's pretty good.
Everything's fine. Okay, great. That's typical of him.
Totally typical. He thought Elizabeth Holmes was the next female Steve Jobs.
That's right. He was all in with her. Right. I forgot about that. Well, he was also all in with Bear Stearns.
Oh, he was. He was.
And then he denied it later. That's my favorite part. Well, not really. I didn't really say that. I didn't really say you know, anything positive. I was, he hedges his, he's a hedger, but not in the market.
The problem is he's on TV, which is recorded, which we can watch.
Yeah.
So that was that. Made some predictions last week. I think I told you about these. We kind of, I think, so what we saw last week was a Fed that came in on the report. So 2 o'clock on Wednesday was a Fed rate decision, last Wednesday. And the report came out and looked kind of, I would say, neutral. It wasn't terribly hawkish, clearly not very dovish, but it wasn't all at all outright, you know, hey, we're going to raise rates and there's no stopping us. It was just a good report that says, you know, we're going to move into this direction. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. However, at 2:30, when the press conference started, Powell looked angry. I'm going to show that goddamn inflation who's who. And he was very hawkish, turned everything on its head. And didn't give a lot of room for the imagination other than the fact that the end is near. I thought that was an overstatement of probability what was going to happen. I think this communication strategy that they're utilizing in an attempt to talk down the market, to talk down inflation, talk down prices, maybe talk down demand a little bit to tighten financial conditions. I think let the markets do the work. Let interest rates come up on their own. He'll back into it. In other words, you don't have to have the Fed pushing the interest rate by the nature of their action, but yet on their potential action. Allow interest rates to rise naturally through the markets and then come in behind it.
Well, that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, so I think they've been doing that. But he was definitely hawkish on that. So, you know, markets got all upset. I still think that even if we get 4 rate hikes by the end of the year, and I'd be hard-pressed if, in fact, we continue to see these soft patches around the country and around the world, and if we see that the continual lockdown causes problems with supply chains, and on top of that, that there is a pullback, because we saw consumer sentiment already drop a bit, and with higher rates, maybe housing slows down. I would be hard pressed to believe that he's really going to continue, or they're going to continue go crazy on this.
That sounds right.
Yeah, we have some Tesla news. It was a hacker, and he reviewed the source code of the Tesla car.
Oh, that's nice. Good idea. And illegal, but you can do it.
Yeah, it seems the automaker recently added seat abuse metrics. So according to Green, if you move the seat too much, messages will start to pop up on your display like excessive use of seat track motor detected and seat track motor unavailable due to excess use.
How's that all about, you think?
I don't know if they're concerned about maybe a weakness in the longevity of the seat track, and therefore if it's under warranty, they have to replace it, or if there's some other weird thought that people don't want you messing with the seats for some reason. They even go so far as being able to display this, disable the controls and put your seat adjustment in jail with a message of wait 5 minutes for adjust the seat position again. I don't understand. I don't understand why they would do that.
Well, maybe it overheats the battery or something and starts the whole car on fire.
The seat adjustment.
Yeah. So we're sitting right on top of a battery.
Oh, so you think that maybe what it's doing is causing a lot of friction to heat up in the lower part of the car that's on the floorboard area, which is close to the batteries, which could cause a problem.
That would, I mean, what else? Go back and forth and back and forth, and boom, the car blows up.
Right. There's another story about Tesla, too. Did I save this story? I don't know if I did. But in China, Tesla turned on Tesla turned on a feature that allows the car to turn into a karaoke machine.
Yeah.
And there's commercials with people in their cars singing to karaoke in China. I mean, they love, you've been to China. They love karaoke in Asia. Love Korea, Philippines, out of control. Love it. Which is, I've been there. It's just a place to get really pissed drunk.
Yeah, that's what they do. They get drunk and sing.
Yeah, you get pissed drunk and just sing your brains out. It's fun. It's so much. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And actually, when you go to Korea and you rent out a karaoke room, you get four of you or six of you in there. They give you these microphones. The whole room has all these lights going on, crazy speakers in there, and this karaoke machine and a book with all these songs in English and Korean. And then they put on the table popcorn and chocolate and candies and a bunch of beers and stuff, and you just go do your thing. It is quite a good time. I don't think Americans could let down the guard to, they think they look silly, which you do look pretty silly doing this.
Yes, that's the, yes, that's the idea. The Asians like to do that.
Yeah. Spotify, whole hoopla going on. I'm sure you talked about this on No Agenda, but Spotify has all these people removing their music, and they're concerned, they're protesting about the bad man, Joe Rogan.
Who's all these people?
There's like three. There's Joni Mitchell. There's
Who doesn't even know what day it is.
Yeah, Joni Mitchell. There's Neil Young.
Well, he's the one who started it, and he doesn't know what day it is.
I think there was one more. But
yes, there is one more. There's three.
There's three, right. Well, did you see that?
It was Niels Lofgren.
Oh, Niels Lofgren.
Another guy who's...
The very large album and song collection of Niels Lofgren.
Well, he was a solo artist back in, I think, the late 60s or probably the mid 70s, maybe.
Did he play with Bruce Springsteen?
His career never took off, and he ended up just playing guitar for the E Street Band. Right. What's his name?
Springsteen. So it seems that after all of this, I don't know exactly why, but there was they're calling it an apology, which probably a lot of people are saying, no, it wasn't an apology, but that now Rogan's going to come out with a more evenly balanced guest list. Something like that. What's that about?
I don't know, because he's already pretty evenly balanced. He had this Osterholm guy on, who was a big, you know, we're all going to die from the virus book writer. And he's been on the show, I think, maybe twice. He had Gupta from CNN on the show. And I mean, he's got a pretty balanced show as it is. He doesn't have a bunch of antivirus people. I mean, just a couple. But so what? He's got the other side already. I don't know what they're talking about. It makes no sense.
Yeah, they're kind of trying to...
But man, is more government stooges is what it sounds like.
Oh, I see. More of the elite coming on.
Yeah, more government stooge elites,
right,
yeah.
Right, walk through the door.
That's got to be real entertaining to listen to them.
Anyway, at least that the world of podcasting is getting a lift from this. I find this all, you know, any kind of publicity is good publicity, right?
Absolutely.
So there you go. Robin Hood, which is Rob from the Rich and Rob from the Poor, as I call them, still losing money, $426 million loss. Stock sinks to all-time low after the earnings come out. The talk of the TV, of course, you know, all the people that own this, are like, oh, maybe it's a good buyout candidate now. Kathy Wood's buying to expand her position again. Stock was up 9% on Monday. We saw the risk on trade after the drubbing it took last week. And I find that it's really fascinating that all the hype that... somebody's saying, you know what would be the greatest irony? That GameStop comes in and buys them. How great would that be?
That would be the funniest thing ever.
So we have, I think, this long, elongated period where people thought it was easy money. They can get on their phone, sit on the couch, utilize government funds to push into the market to hopefully make riches and fortunes from their $250 unemployment compensation weekly benefit, right? Stick that into the Robinhood because they could transfer it easily from their bank and then buy all sorts of things, including cryptocurrency, stocks that are bankrupt. And then this effectively, Robinhood, even before the pandemic, they effectively changed the entire environment of commission-based transactions with stock brokerages that have been there from, I don't know, 100 years? They turned that on their,
yeah,
they turned on its head, and now it's free. And they can't make money doing it. And all these other companies are profiting dramatically. Best earnings ever. The Schwabs, TD Ameritrades, Interactive Brokers, Merrill Lynch, you know, you name it. So how do you lose $426 million?
You did something wrong.
It's terrible. Just, you're a throughput organization that just gets a clip. You're a tweener. I don't understand how you lose so much money.
Overhead.
Terrible. Apple's earnings, good news, helped out to stabilize the markets. Shares rose 4% on Friday, or actually I think it was close to 6% by the end, after the company reported blockbuster results. And then also they teased their metaverse ambitions. $125 billion. Yeah, well, everybody's doing that. $125 billion in sales in the quarter.
It's unbelievable.
What was really interesting about Apple was that they say the supply chain issues were not so bad for them. I think you...
I wonder what that's all about.
I didn't talk about this with you. I was talking to somebody, maybe on the Discipline Investor podcast last week. We were talking about what was going on with Apple and how Apple was able to maintain through their process the continuation and pretty much backed and guaranteed all of the manufacturing that was going on. So they didn't really have as much of a problem.
Well, Tim Cook, the reason he's the CEO is because he is the logistics superstar in the world. And so if anyone could find a way around this, it would be him.
I think what he did was just said, hey, we're not, you know, like everybody else stopped it, said, no, turn it off. We're not taking anything more. He just kept the whole thing going. And also, I think there was some guarantees to put him ahead of line. Maybe they took advantage of some of others' misfortunes with chips. Plus, they had their own factories.
Leverage.
With chips. Yeah, their own factories with chips also. Google.
Well, they are making their own chips. I mean,
right.
They're using IP company to design the chips, and then they're having them done through a foundry. I mean, they don't have a chip factory themselves.
Right. They were using Taiwan stuff. I mean, some not for every chip though. Not for all their chips.
I don't know where they're getting their chips from, to be honest.
I think the main chip, the main processor they make, and they have a foundry that does that. But the other chips, I think, again, you know, they put, you know who the gorilla in the market is. Why not just continue providing for them as much as possible? And if they need to
you don't want them cutting you off.
Yeah, that's not good. If you have 40% of your business coming from Apple and you got somebody that has 12% of your business and Apple says, I need those chips. And the other guy says, I need those chips. Okay. So that was good. The outlook was also good. So that was great. Google was unbelievable. So a couple of things with Google. Number one, their cloud division has formed a group to build business around blockchain applications. And this is because I saw growth in retail, healthcare, and other industries doing this kind of thing. And then they're going blockchain to try to now add to the, I guess, the benefit of these consumers. So people can apply. There's a whole division being started with that. Then they put out their earnings tonight. The fourth quarter earnings were $30.69 versus $27.35. So a good 10% beat above. Many of these companies that are beating right now are not beating at the same percentage that they were beating, let's say, 6 months ago or 8 months ago, 10 months ago. But they're still beating dramatically. A $10 beat, which is enormous when you think about it. A $3 beat. Pardon me, $3 beat. Still enormous.
What is the... it's just beyond me.
It just keep on making money. The revenues also beat. So it's not one of these situations where we see like revenues beat, but
they're not cooking the books.
Right. The revenues were up to $75 billion. Estimates were for $71 and change. They also announced something very interesting tonight. Something we haven't seen in a while. We saw this. Oh, the last one we saw this, I think the last one was Tesla. They announced a 20-to-1 stock split. I don't know.
Oh, Google. I missed that.
Yes, Google. Alphabet. So it's trading, I think. Let's see what Google's trading after
is
hours.
It all the non-voting useless stock, but they'll do it.
They'll do it on both sides. They'll do it on both sides.
Yeah.
They traded at over 3,000 per share at the close. I think, 3,014 was November 18th, 2021. They're almost at an all-time high again. How incredible is that?
It's wild.
Stock market cap is $1.83 trillion. So if they're up after hours, 10%, we'll call it. So it's $18 billion. No, $180 billion, right? If they're $1.83 trillion, $183 billion, 10%.
Yeah. Whew. Right. Whew.
That's pretty good.
I would think so. They buy a couple more 737s to fly around in.
Year-over-year revenues are up 41%, net income up 68%, diluted EPS up 70%. Net profit margin on a year-over-year basis up 19.5%. Now, the other thing they're talking about is Alphabet stock split could allow for the company to join the Dow Jones. What do you think about that? That's what happened with Apple.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting. So very close to an all-time high after all of this. I was thinking about this just the other day. I was watching a Google Pixel commercial. And I said to myself, you know, there's so many times that I think about Google/Alphabet. I never think of anything else but search. And there's such... a much bigger obviously I know this, but they have so much more. They have phones and computers, and they have cloud, of course, and they have all the entire suite. They have YouTube. I mean, they're enormous. I mean, this is not a epiphany.
Well, they got to get a little bigger. So when they get split up, which is bound to happen, they have very distinctive businesses that they can spin off.
I mean, there's some thought that these breakups will actually benefit these companies.
Oh, I think it will. I've always advocated that with Microsoft years ago when they kept talking about splitting them up. The parts are worth more than the whole.
Microsoft's not as distinct as Alphabet, don't you think?
It used to be more distinct.
Right. I mean, Amazon's very distinct. You could split off the retail. You could split off maybe the
services can go.
And the AWS, right? Clearly, Google could be split up into, I don't know, 10 shops.
Yeah, easy.
There's all sorts of goodies in there. Just go to your Gmail and click down the three buttons. And what do you got? Gmail, Play, you got the calendar, you got news, you got chat, you got Meet, you got the browser business, the search business, you got the Drive and the cloud. Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, pretty amazing. What else do we got? AMD, UPS. Wow. UPS earnings were nothing short of great today with an increase in the dividend. Xilinx, AMD. And the good news is we own all the stocks I just mentioned in our trading portfolio.
Yeah, good.
That's good. On the other hand, a stock that we don't own that I was pretty astonished with how far this company fell. And that's PayPal. If you watched, we talked about this last week. I think I rattled off all the losers. Remember that? How it's 50, 60%. PayPal down hard, right? Well, the reported earnings of $1.11 per share, excluding non-recurring items, penny worse than the consensus. Revenues rose 13% year over year. To $6.92 billion versus the $6.89 billion, a little bit better. Company issued downside guidance for Q1 of 87 cents versus $1.16. So first of all, you get beat up in this market right now. If you don't have earnings and you don't look like you have a path to profitability, and if your earnings that you come out with stink or guidance is terrible. This is bad. Stock is down, I think, 18%.
But why?
Why is the stock down?
No, why is it? Why are they coming up with these numbers? What are they doing wrong?
I think they're trying to integrate. Let me see, PayPal stock here. PayPal stock. Yeah, down 31, down 18% after hours. I think there's an integration problem. I think they're talking about inflation. I'm not exactly sure what. Maybe okay. Maybe people are spending. Maybe people are spending less.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense either.
Could be maybe some of these little companies they own, like eBay or.
eBay, they're integrating back. They're being sucked back into eBay, I believe is the case. Remember they kind of split from them? Now they're being sucked back in.
Yeah, they kind of in and out.
So I don't know. I'm just looking. I'm just looking for some news on this whole thing.
Yeah, is everybody kicking ass and the bank's doing well and everything in between?
I think this is maybe too many options. How about that?
Like what?
You have Zelle, which you can easily transfer money. You have a variety, Cash App. You have all sorts of different possible, I think, competitors to the product right now. It's pretty bad guidance, so something's not right. I think they did mention in the conference call something about if they weren't involved in the eBay merger or roll-up, whatever they're calling it, that they would have had better numbers in some areas. So he said it's a little bit hidden, some of the strength we are actually seeing. Well, if that was the case, why would they issue downside guidance?
Yeah, there you go.
They would have put a caveat to it. So I don't know, something weird. Starbucks also missed. You like Starbucks coffee?
I find their coffee to be somewhat bland.
That I've never heard. What do you mean bland?
It doesn't have the powerful flavor of a good coffee.
It has a burnt flavor, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, that could be too. That's what you do when you got a bland coffee. You burn it so it has people say, "Oh, that tastes good." It's burnt.
I see. It's like this place down here that makes burnt pizza and burnt wings. Seriously, it's they're delicious. Wing. They're delicious.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I think.
I just don't know. I don't like Starbucks coffee. I had it. I think some of their bottled drinks are pretty tasty, but that's about it.
I also don't like the. This is gonna be a little off. I don't like the whole. I got to feel happy when I go into a Starbucks. You know what I mean? Just give me the goddamn coffee. Don't ask my name. You know what? They ask me my name to put on the cup in Starbucks. You know what I tell them? My name's Duncan. That's what I tell them. I don't like all the happy baristas.
Why do you say Duncan? Is there a joke in there?
Like Donuts? Duncan.
Okay, Duncan.
It's not a funny joke, but at least it's a jab. No? I don't know. I don't like the coffee. Anyway, a lot of people don't like the coffee either, it seems, because as much as they did, Starbucks missed by 8%. They beat on revenues. Comps in the U.S. were up 13%. Overall, North America up 18%, which leaves the fact that international seems to be a drag, along with the high price of coffee that we're seeing. Stock was down about 3 or 4% in the after hours. Now, one of the things that you don't see lagging at all lately is crude oil. What's the price of oil in San Fran?
Oh, the price of gasoline, you mean?
Yeah, yes, gasoline, yeah.
$5.30 a gallon for premium.
What was the old high way back when we were kvetching about oil going to 100 back then?
About $4 maybe.
So this is it? This is the highest?
I think so. I've never seen it higher than this.
So you fill up your car, which is 20 gallons plus, it's over $100.
Yeah, over $100 to fill up your tank.
Here's a chart that shows the crude move is about 87 right now. From the low we saw in December, about 65. One of the big things here is not necessarily demand. It's the fact that the OPEC is still holding back the throttle.
Yeah, of course, because we have Joe Biden as president.
Exactly. There's nobody to go against the whole thing. And the only thing they could come up with was
really. Well, he doesn't care because he's not for oil anyway. So it's fine. He says, good. That helps my Green New Deal.
Yeah, but what it does is it causes the inflation numbers to keep on peaking, causing major problems. And the Saudis don't seem to want to do anything about it because they're happy-pappy about it.
Yeah, that's true.
And the biggest winner this year, again, is energy stocks. OIH and XLE, two symbols of oil-related in the ETF zone. And incredible, incredible moves right here. Not to mention the crazy moves on natural gas that we've seen. Of course.
Oh, the poor people that have to use a lot of natural gas has doubled.
It's doubled. And here it's now, it's not a big deal. The fact is that the biggest deal is
Europe. You don't use it for heating your house down in Florida. You use it for cooking. It's not that much. You don't use that much.
But I have it for my hot water heater and my stove. That's it.
Yeah. Same here. Oh, we also have a gas dryer.
My wife wouldn't let me get a gas dryer. She was afraid it was going to blow up if there was lint in it. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand, but okay. I said, do you mean that?
But she think that the flame is going straight into the thing?
Yeah, so the flames obviously is what, there's a flame inside of the dryer drum, obviously. I said, you don't think that you can get a spark off of electricity that will arc out and then hit a piece of linen or lint or whatever and not spark that up? Not the same. I'm like, okay.
It does a much better job, I'll just say that.
Which does?
The gas dryer.
Yeah, it's hot, consistent.
Yeah.
Cost less. Citrus.
Yeah, cost less.
Citrus. You know, Citrix, the company that was supposed to be Zoom, but wasn't. You know that company?
Oh, yeah.
Elliott Management and Vista Equity Partners are close to buying the company in a deal that values the company at about $13 billion, which, by the way, it's an all-cash deal below market value. Shares were at $105. They dropped to $101 on this announcement.
Wow.
Bad execution of this company.
I'd say.
They allowed Zoom to trample all over them. We talked about the Fed balloons testing. USA and Asia, North Korea's added again, confirming on Monday, tested an intermediate range ballistic missile on Sunday. So they're
testing constantly.
One of the things they did, they put some kind of cameras up there now to kind of look down and take pictures as it's going along.
Hmm.
Drug prices. Drug makers raised list. This is no surprise. Drug makers, once again, I should say, raised their prices by an average of 6.6% in the first few weeks of this year on cancer, diabetes, and other prescription medicines, sticking with more moderate increases while lawmakers scrutinize pricing practices. Help me out with this, sir. How long have lawmakers been scrutinizing pricing practices?
They scrutinize it for just long enough to get more campaign contributions from those same drug companies. And once they come in, the scrutinization slows.
It's really quite unbelievable that the same thing, maybe it isn't as much as when we saw that, remember that guy, Martin Shrinkle?
Yeah, well, he was just the bad boy example, but they're all like that. Only they don't go in front of Congress and smirk.
Yeah, that was stupid. That was dumb. So
he's basically telling them to screw themselves.
About 150 drug makers raised prices on 866 products in the U.S. through January 20th, according to analysts for this Rx Savings solution. And what's really, I think, so drug prices went up 6.6% on average. Well, some may have gone.
The overpriced drug prices went up. Yes. They're already gone up too much, but then it went another 6% up.
So this is more than they clearly go up more than inflation, more than the rate of normalized inflation. But it's still inflation. But why do we focus on this so much? Is a 6% annual rate increase, although we don't know it's annual, but that's not that much.
No, but it should be going down because when they manufacture more and more and more, it's supposed to lower the price, not increase it.
Right. Yeah. Yep. All right. Some things about coins really quickly. Let's see. Yes. Vladimir Putin stated that Russia has a certain competitive advantage when it comes to mining Bitcoin, including a surplus of electricity and well-trained personnel. Russian miners currently account for over 10% of the network's computing power. So he's hiring. Gucci plans to drop 10 Super Gucci NFTs, which will include a homemade ceramic sculpture from Italy. A homemade. So we have NFT and a homemade ceramic sculpture. So you have to get something physical, I suppose, right now. And the other thing is interesting is that Wharton.
Sorry.
Wharton is going to. What happened?
I lost you for a second.
I said Wharton is going to be accepting crypto payments for its new six-week, $3,800 tuition blockchain and digital assets program.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, they're going to be accepting this and then converting it. So thanks, Dave Ackerman. Offbeat, goldfish are capable of navigating on land, it seems now.
Well, I dropped one off of a goldfish bowl once. I didn't see any evidence of that.
Nope, no evidence of that. But they've trained a fish to drive in Israel.
Yeah, to drive a car. Well, it's probably as good as any of the drivers around here.
Could be. And definitely down here in the wintertime when the Canadians come down here and you see nothing but a plume of white hair and hands on the steering wheel from the back. The team at Ben-Gurion University developed a FOV, a fish-operated vehicle. The robotic car is fitted with a LiDAR remote sensing technology that uses pulsed laser light to collect data on the vehicle's ground location, the fish's whereabouts inside a mounted water tank. So computer, camera, electric motors, and all this, Omni wheels, give the fish control of the vehicle. So what do you think about that?
We should use these as fish driving vehicles instead of have the fish run your Tesla. Put them in there.
Yeah, there's a picture of this whole contraption there. Who thinks of this?
Well, there's that.
And who's funding this? And to what end?
Publicity.
All right, well, here's a WTF moment for you. A Japanese professor has developed a prototype lickable TV screen. Did we talk about this at all?
No, we didn't.
There's a prototype lickable TV screen.
First, I'm going to have a premise question, which is why would you want to lick your TV screen?
Why would you want a fish to drive? It's the same thing.
You want a fish to drive in case you're drunk.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. And you probably want to be drunk when you're licking your TV.
But why would you want to lick your TV in the first place, drunk or not?
I don't know, but supposedly it's going to imitate food flavors.
How does that work?
So there's the device.
This is reminding me of Smell-O-Vision, if you remember that.
Of course, I'm still waiting for it. Who's not waiting for Smell-O-Vision? Right? And all you want to do is see the Jackass movie with Smell-O-Vision.
Yeah, God.
So there's a device called Taste the TV. TTTV is the acronym there. Use a carousel of 10 flavor canisters that spray in combination to create the taste of a particular food. The flavor sample then rolls on hygienic film on a flat TV screen for the viewer to try. And
oh, brother.
A couple of things to ask you here. It looks like it has to be laid down flat so that somehow this spray doesn't drip, I guess. And you know what happens with these new TVs that have this great video, this 4K or this 1080p? You get close to it, it looks terribly pixelated and horrible. You have to be, 10 feet away at least, right?
No, but go on.
You can be right on top of it?
I can't with my OLED TV. I sure can.
It looks very pixelated, mine, when I get on top of it.
Well, you don't have, what do you use? What's your TV?
I have a 14-inch tube TV. No, I have a 65-inch Sony something or other.
Well, I don't see this pixelation. The up conversion on a 1080p goes to 4K and it's beautiful.
Mm. So you get there and what? You're gonna watch some kind of Chopped, or you're gonna watch reruns of Julia Child, and as the soup is cooking over the soup, you take a lick and you taste chicken soup.
I guess, yeah.
You think this is gonna be a thing?
Yeah, not if it burns your tongue.
No, yeah. Make sure it's not powered by natural gas. Definitely my wife would not like that. Italy sewers. It seems that this is something that you knew was coming. You have talked about, because I think I've heard you talk about this. Italy is going to be using the national sewer system to predict future coronavirus spreads and to alert authorities of rising cases and new variants before they appear in testing in hospitals. The tool will provide early warning for future waves of infection and detect the presence of incidents of different variants, the co-head of the wastewater monitoring of the National Health Institute said.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be
wasting money is what
they're going to be testing your sentence, your refuse, your poops. They're going to be in your toilets.
COVID poop.
Terrible. We have an announcement. Well, two announcements. First of all, thank you, everyone, for your kind donations. And shame on you for those that haven't donated. Am I off? Am I right?
I think you're right, yeah.
I don't want to be donation shaming, but a lot of people get a lot of joy. A lot of people participate. Don't be one of those that's on the other side of, somebody else is going to give. It's always that thought, right? Oh, other people are giving. I don't have to give. It's okay if you don't want to, but, you know, it's a big help. What we do is unique. What we do is special. What we do is for you. It's a labor of love, is it not, John?
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. So go over to dhunplugged.com and click on the yellow button that says donate and click and send a note. We'll send you back a personalized response, et cetera. Now, one of the other things we have to announce is the closest to the pin. We talked about this last week. We decided that would be a crazy thing to do. And we have the closest to the pin for the ARK Innovation ETF. Is innovation spelled correctly? Is it two N's in that? Gotta look at that. Anyway, the symbol is ARKK. It is open for entries right now at DH Unplugged. So get over there and check it out. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
I apologize. I was too finger happy on that recording, on that clip. What do they call it? The cart, right? The cart. And I cut
it's
you
fine.
Off. I cut you off.
Eh.
Did you want to say something?
What really cut me off was my shorting of Netflix.
Oh, unplanned. Ouch. And a perfect segue. Look at that. Nice work. Well, what really hurt you, I'll tell you what really hurt you. What really hurt you was Ackman coming in and saying, you know, I just bought 20 million shares.
Yeah. Thanks, Ackman.
Yeah, that hurt you. And then everybody's saying, oh, maybe it's not so bad. So stock closed at four. You got closed out of 410, fortunately. It did trade down to like 365 for a little while there. So you were in the money for a while. And then
that was that.
And then currently trading at 457. So just to restate the opposite and counterpoint to what you're saying, that you lost 8.42%. We did go long and short at the exact same time in the exact same episode. And that position is up 20.85% in the last week.
Yeah, that would have been a good arbitrage.
Yeah.
Short and long at the same time and you'd come out ahead.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Now, how do you do that if you held the short? The only reason why it worked out is
I'm got the short is 8 and you're up 20. That gets way ahead by 12%.
Correct. Okay, I'll go there. So
I wouldn't hold it. I'd be kicked off of the one and been hanging on the other.
Right. Okay. Silliest idea I've ever heard.
It's a good idea. Look, it's a winner.
I see. It's a 12% winner.
Yeah. So and still going up.
Right. Then again, it could have been even better if you closed your position down to 360 and let it ride the rest of the time of the way up. Two winners.
That would have been, yeah, but that's too, that is, that that takes too much skill.
Too much. Everything else is doing pretty well. Your silly bank corp is up 104%. Just doesn't move. Just doesn't.
3%.
Gold is inching its way back, but not. Honeywell up 16%.
That gold thing. I thought you were going to kick it off there because you had that opportunity. Should have. At the beginning of the
year. Should have. Now I'm stuck with the damn thing.
Just stuck there.
UPS was up 14% today on glorious earnings and an uptick in their dividend, up 34%.
Having nothing to do with cold storage, which was the reason you bought it.
Nothing. Zero. Totally flawed thesis. Kellogg up 6.6%. And Vivia, insiders up 44%. Now this Hudson.
Last week I had a pick of Performant Financial Corp, which was a penny stock that is up 11%. That's a big deal from insiders. You got a similar one today.
Oh, you do? Well, you have the inside also, which is the Baker Brothers did very well. What do you have? I'll give you first lick and I'll tell you mine after.
EPZM.
Oh, I know. It pins an enzyme something?
Yeah.
I've seen that one before. We're going to go long.
Insiders, I got one of the directors who's also runs some other, he's also a CEO and I think the chairman of some other drug company.
What's the symbol on this? What's the symbol?
EPZM.
Oh, M. That's why. Yeah. Okay.
M.
Epizyme. Yeah. Epizyme.
Okay. And if you look at the.
I'm losing you.
Guys who follow this, like say buy, sell, buy, sell. They're all pushing at it. They're all saying, look, it's going to go to 14. That's the target price.
Wow. Insiders to 14 is the thesis, huh?
Yeah.
What happened here? Insiders to 14.
We've never had a stock go that much up.
That would be a 10 bagger. We've had.
It'd be a 10 banger.
Didn't we have one? Didn't we have one that was something?
No. You had one that was like, I think 200%? 100. No, we never had a 200% stock because they get kicked off because one little blip and boom, they're gone.
Looking down a long list here. 90s, a lot of 90s, 100s, 90, 80, 40, 50. Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, 90s and 100 is about it.
Yeah, because once they get that movement, you know? Anything else?
No, that's all I got.
I'm going to pick Roblox.
Yeah, you and these companies.
Me and these companies. Well, you and these insiders.
No, but these are this isn't this some virtual thing, virtual reality
it's
or
gaming.
Some
It's gaming. It's
gaming,
also,
yeah, gaming.
It's also Meta. They're coming out with earnings. I wish I would have had been talking about this earlier last week when I said, you know, I think they're going to probably squeeze this up into earnings. Think the earnings on February 15th. The opportunity for it to move, I mean, it's up 20% in the last week, but it's been down dramatically. And all these names are really catching some fire, especially as we're seeing the technology companies like the Apples and Google now beat so dramatically. Apple announcing their metaverse ambitions and Google's talking about some things and who knows what Microsoft even mentioned something. We're going to possibly see some other things from who knows. Maybe you got to be in a Meta versus Amazon store picking out your to goes.
This is a pipe dream.
Pipe dream. Okay, that's good. It could be, but I do also think Roblox of all of the names out there is the close to a gaming company, which also teaches programming and coding to young people.
No, good. Learn to code.
Learn to code. Why not? Learn to code. Stay in a room by yourself with no friends besides your online
learn
buddies.
Learn to code.
Yeah. Have no life but have money, right?
Or probably neither. Mm. No friends, no money.
No friends and no money.
Yeah, that's the way coders usually end up.
And you're just listening to big fat headphones on your head all day.
Yeah, and then you go deaf.
And then you wear glasses. All of them wear glasses because they've been...
Yeah, and then you go blind. You're blind, deaf, and broke. Doesn't really seem too appealing.
Oh, poor coders. Oh, well. I don't really buy all that. I do believe that they're going to go deaf and blind, though. Probably, but nonetheless. All right, what else? Anything else you'd like to share with us? Anything else going on? Anything good?
Oh, we're running short. We're not overtime.
We have 4 minutes.
I haven't got anything. I mean, it's just like, what's going on? You know, I'm watching this, the price of energy. I think it's going to kind of peak. I'm surprised that gold hasn't gone up, and it's not.
Do you think we're going to, this whole idea of you know, oil to 100 again is, I mean, it looks very possible.
Every time it gets close, it collapses.
Yeah, I don't know.
If it goes over 100, I'll be stunned.
Yeah.
I mean, people are bitching and moaning. Biden can't seem to do anything about it.
It seems like a real drain. I mean, I know that a lot of the professionals talk about it's not that big of a hit on the economy. It's a big hit.
on
it's a huge hit.
And disproportionate.
It costs the goods cost more, and then to go buy the goods, it costs a mint. You have to fill it, spend $100 to go to the store.
Yeah, and if it's $40 more for a tank of gas, and let's say it's even once a week, or even say it's, I don't care, it's twice a month. That's $80. That's a lot of money. Not to mention other things are going up in price also.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, I don't understand why they downplay the price of energy. I think it's a driver of the economy, low energy price.
I agree. Not to mention the fact that higher energy prices does something else. Even if we exclude the price of energy in the price of oil in inflation, here's another little thing, that little dirty little secret. Things travel to get to you, deliver to you via what? Energy consuming vehicles. And most of them are combustion engines. And even if they are EV, electric vehicles, still is they're using energy of a sort too, which is usually from either maybe nuclear, but natural gas, et cetera. So all of this winds into the same exact situation where prices go up. And, unfortunately, now we're trying to beg, borrow, and steal from some of the countries in the Middle East. For example, I think Biden is trying to give like a most favored nation or best friend or BFF award to Qatar. You see the latest one?
If they
promise to allow for their natural gas and their oils and all to flow, not necessarily to China, but to Europe.
Well, they just want to screw Russia.
Right.
Yeah, Russia's got plenty of natural gas they can pump into Europe.
Plenty.
And it's not as though they're gouging anyone.
Well, if you have a war there, it may shut down a few things. And, you're going to sanction and say bad things if they invade. That's our that's our military strategy.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible.
If you want to call it a strategy.
Yeah. All right. Let's end it there, and we will convene again next week.
Okay. See you then.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.